I am certainly glad to be here and share some thoughts from the book of Romans. There's a handout. We're really going to begin with the second sheet. The first sheet is a selection from 2 Samuel 18. I forgot to put the reference, but that's the tidings bearer is 2 Samuel 18, starting at verse 19. The book of Romans is a book of good tidings. Paul is the tidings bearer, the one evangelizing. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, a called apostle, severed for the evangel of God. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Romans 1:1-5. For I am longing to see you, he says, to the Romans, that I may be sharing some spiritual grace with you for you to be established. Paul was eager to come, and he wanted to bring this message that he is severed for, even though they had already heard much of it. Now I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that often I purposed to come to you and was prevented hitherto, that I should be having some fruit among you also, according as among the rest of the nations. Paul was eager to come, but he recognized that God prevented him from doing so. To both Greeks and barbarians, to both wise and foolish, a debtor am I. Thus this eagerness of mine to bring the evangel to you also. I was thinking last night when Martin was talking about the snatching away and how there's such an eagerness on the part of God to have this happen. And Paul was eager, likewise, to come, and he wanted to do it, but God kept preventing him. God has his own reasons. According as it is written, Paul says in Romans, I'm skipping ahead. To both Greeks and barbarians, to both wise and foolish, a debtor am I. Thus this eagerness of mine to bring the evangel to you. All right. Paul had comely feet. He was bringing an evangel. He writes in Romans 10:15, citing the passage in Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful are the feet of those bringing an evangel of good. How calmly, the passage says in the Concordant Version, the Hebrew word, we have given a different translation than the word beautiful. How calmly on the mountains are the feet of the tidings bearer who is announcing peace, bearing tidings of good, announcing salvation. Paul was eager to bring an evangel, a message of peace and goodness and salvation. Remember those three things. That's what Isaiah was speaking about in talking about evangelists that would come and announce the deliverance of Jerusalem and the kingdom there. But before Paul announces it, before he gets to the message itself, he says, I am not ashamed of it. Now, I used to think he is drawing attention in a negative way to the positive. But I think he has more than that in view. Suppose the president has proposed something, which I guess we can say he has, and has it all worked out, and 2 or 3 months later, after it gets introduced, it's a complete success. And then he comes to the people and he says, I'm not ashamed to announce to you that this has been successful. I don't think he would do that. Paul knew that what he had to say would not be well received, even though what he had to say was good, it was salvation, and it was a message of peace. We have a nice story in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 18. It's more than that. God prepared it. God saw that it happened. He got it recorded. And it's helpful for us to understand something I want to say. I think that Paul's trying to say here in Romans when he says, I'm not ashamed of the evangel. You know the story. Absalom has attracted the people away to himself. He was a great politician. And they had all gone with him. And so David had run from the city. It's the low point of David's kingdom, of his rule, of his position. It's dark and terrible. And David, when he gets a little bit on here, he wants, there's going to be a battle between the two forces of Israel. Now the force of Israel, you understand, is under Absalom. And David and those with him, mainly Gentiles. And Joab is leading as the general for David. And David says, I want to go with you to the battle. And they talk him out of it and say, no, you must not go. You stay here in the city. So David does not participate in the battle. That's significant. He just sits there in the gateway waiting for the message to come. When the battle is over with and David's forces have won, we get into the story here about the tidings bearer, and it should be bearers, I guess, because there's two of them. Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, said, now let me run and bear the tidings to the king that Yahweh has vindicated him against the hand of the enemies. What a great message. And notice that how he words it, Yahweh has done this. It is of God, That's a wonderful way to present the message. It's like the evangel, because the evangel that Paul is evangelizing is something that God has done and not something that you have to do. And so this is what the message is. But so Joab said to him, "You are not a man of tidings this day. You will bear the tidings on another day. But this day you shall not bear the tidings." This was because the king's son was dead. That's a very important passage of Scripture. I'm not saying that Christ, that Absalom was a type of Christ, but the situation is. And he's the son of David. And he's dead. And the message is that the salvation and the peace and the goodness is because the son of David is dead. There wouldn't have been any salvation. David didn't believe that. He wanted to go to the battle. I think he had in mind he was going to keep Absalom from being killed. He wanted to win the battle, but he even tells them, don't kill Absalom. David didn't want him killed. So Joab said to a Cushite, "Go tell the king what you have seen." The Cushite bowed down to Joab and ran off. And you know, as it goes on, you can read it. But we have Ahimaaz saying, "Let me go. I really want to go. I'm so eager to go. Let me go. I want to tell the message. I want to be the one who brings the news to David that they have won. The battle was successful. I have good news. I want to do it." And so he runs, and he runs ahead of the Cushite. And the messengers, you know, they're back in the city, watchmen, they see the runner coming, and they tell David. And it looks like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok the priest. And David says, "Oh, he," that's on the top of page 3 there, verse 27. The watchman continued, "I can see that the running style of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, son of Zadok." And the king replied, "This one is a good man. He comes with good tidings." And so David was all ready to get the good tidings because he knew that that's what that guy would do. He would come with good tidings. But Ahimaaz knows that he has to be very careful what he says. He's a little bit ashamed of the message he is bringing. He is very, very careful what he says. Ahimaaz drew near and said to the king, "Peace." He bowed down. See, he has a message of peace. He bowed down to the king with his nostrils to the earth and said, "Blessed be Yahweh your Elohim who made those men surrender." Well, I thought he was going to say, "Who has vindicated you." That's what he said first. He said, Yahweh has vindicated you. He has judged, he has made it all turn out right. And you see, that would include the idea that would not, it would point and keep open the matter of Absalom being completely defeated and dead. But he just says, "Oh, they surrendered." Sounds like they just gave up the battle. No mention there, or no thought of any death or any troubles. They just surrendered. That's all wonderful, David will say. Wonderful. They just gave up, huh? They just surrendered. But David doesn't say that. He says, was it peaceable for the lad, for Absalom? That's what he's interested in. He doesn't want the salvation. He doesn't want the peace. He doesn't want the goodness by means of the death of his son. So, Ahimaaz, he's not like Paul. So, he says, well, I really don't know. It was so confusing in the battle when I left. I don't know what was happening. He did know. And so, David says, you go there and stand. Here comes the other one. And he asked him. And the Cushite gives the exact message that Ahimaaz told Joab that he wanted to give. He didn't tone it down any. He says, Yahweh has vindicated you. Now, that's interesting. I know I was in the discussion as we translated that. And it really literally is judged. And that's what the little J means in front of the word vindicate. It isn't the word justify. It's the word judge. But God has judged. He has decided, made this decision for you, on your favor. He has made a judgment in your favor against all who rise against you, the king asked. I mean, that's a good message. That's good news. And that was true. But David says, what about Absalom? And the Cushite replied, may the enemies of my lord the king and all those who rise up. Now you see, Absalom is not completely, all these pictures, they're not completely a picture of one thing. So he's not completely a picture of Christ, certainly not in his character, certainly not in what he did, but he's still the son of David, and David is wanting the salvation without the death. And I think that's significant. I think that's very important for us. Then the king was disturbed, and he went up to the upper chamber of the gateway and wept. Thus he lamented as he went. Saying, oh, my son Absalom. He's alive somewhere. He's not really dead. He's alive somewhere. I don't know just how. No. Oh, my son Absalom. My son. Oh, that I had died instead of you. There's the father. Like Paul, Ahimaaz was eager to bring the tidings. Like the evangel of God, it was a message of good. It was a message of peace. It was a message of salvation. In that the war of enmity against David was over. And the enmity was put to death. The source of the enmity. When Paul said to the Corinthians, I want to bring you the evangel which I brought to you. He was always doing that. I think he's doing that of course he had brought it before. But he's always eager to bring it over and over and over again. But when he did it to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3:15-4, the Apostle Paul put it this way. And the first words he says were, Christ died, Paul was not ashamed of the evangel. Now, of course, we know he died for our sins, and that's all he says there. He doesn't talk about justification. He doesn't talk about our celestial allotment. He doesn't talk about the conciliation or reconciliation. He just says he did it for us, for our sins. And that's all. But the evangel was that Christ died, and he did it for good. And he did it for peace. And he did it for salvation. But the Apostle Paul was not ashamed to bring this message. I have quoted a lot of things from Romans. I wouldn't have time, and I don't want to go through them all here, but we do have the statement of the evangel. And for Romans 5:8, it seems like to me it's a really a central statement. God is commending this love of his to us, seeing that while we are still sinners, Christ died for our sakes. So the evangel is a message about what has happened. And we were sitting there, and Jeff's book about how to be saved while smoking a cigarette brings out the point of this verse. We are sitting in the gates waiting for the message. Well, we weren't even doing that. But the message came. Somebody brought the message to us. And we didn't do anything. I like I keep having a little piece of Gilbert and Sullivan line that goes through my mind a lot, because I remember the music and the words, and it's about the house of peers throughout all the years of the war. They did nothing in particular, and they did it very well. We did nothing in particular, and we do it very well. But God, what he did, and Christ, he died. And why did he die? I think we have, through the centuries, made the death of Christ hidden as part of the message. We haven't received an appreciation of the importance of it, of the central factor of it. When Absalom died, the rebellion died, the enmity died, the horror and the evil of all of that was happening. It died with him. Christ was made sin, who knew no sin. When the love of Christ is constraining us, that if one died for the sake of all died. That's the foundation of universal salvation. We all had to be put to death. Christ didn't go into another mode of life when he died. If he did, then when we die, we go into some other mode of life when we die with him. The enemy is still there somehow. No, he died and he's gone. And that's what David thought about Absalom. He was so upset. So, the evangel, Paul was not ashamed of it. And the thing about the evangel that seems something you ought to pass over quickly and not give too much attention to is what he stresses. There is a theology, book of theology is used in all the evangelical Bible schools and so forth by Millard Erickson called Christian Theology. It's 1,300 pages long. On page 772, in a less than one page, he has a little section about the death of Christ. I mean, about the words, Christ died. And it's pretty good what he says in one line or so of this half a page. His voice was stilled so that he could no longer preach and teach, and his body was lifeless, unable to heal, raise the dead, and quiet the storms. And that's all he has to say. And he leaves a lot of space there, like Ahimaaz did, to change the subject. Now, don't think we should ever change the subject when we come to the subject of the death of Christ, because it's very, very critical to the evangel.